Good day and welcome to the official podcast of Pursuit Athletic Performance. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 53 of the Pursuit Athletic Performance podcast. As always, I'm your co-host, Coach Al, joined by my partner, Dr. Kurt Strecker. Doc, how you doing today?
Fabulous. Couldn't be better, Coach.
I hear you. I couldn't be better either, man.
We just put the last finishing touches on our brand new state-of-the-art pain cave. Very excited about that.
Very, very excited indeed. Well, today we've got a really special episode of the podcast. For all of you who listen to our podcast on a regular basis, we're going to begin a new segment to our podcast called Meet the Team. We've got an unbelievably awesome group of athletes that are part of Team Pursuit Athletic Performance. And on a regular basis, we're going to feature any one of a variety of team members, those that come from every walk of life who have overcome a whole host of different challenges out there racing on the bike and in the water and out on the run, runners, triathletes, multi-sport athletes, adventure racers. We've got a little something to learn from all of them, and we're going to be happy to share and allow you all to meet those athletes. And in fact, any of you listening right now, some of you may end up on our podcast, right, Doc?
Careful, you could be next.
You could be next. Today is really a special day in our first Meet the Team segment because we've got two team members that are really close to our hearts here at Pursuit Athletic Performance. Colleen Kelly Alexander and her husband, Sean. And many of you who follow Pursuit Athletic Performance on any kind of level, and certainly any of you that are in the state of Connecticut, have probably heard about Colleen's story and what happened on October 8th of 2011. And we're so pleased to be able to finally bring Colleen and her amazing husband, Sean, onto the podcast to allow all of you to meet them a little bit. So, Sean and Colleen, how are you guys today? Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Coach.
Yes,
yeah,
it's
awesome.
For any of you, by the way, who are out there and are interested in some personal training, I'm going to throw this out, Doc. I mean, you know, these folks are personal training for us here at Pursuit Athletic Performance, and will be very active in our new space up in Chester, and they're just fantastic. But, you know, for today's podcast, what I'd really like both of you to do is just talk a little bit about who you are and how you got here. And Colleen, I want to make sure that everyone knows your website before we're done, and that you have an opportunity to share a little bit of information, particularly for the causes that are close to your heart. So we want to make sure to get that in. And naturally, folks can go to your website to read more about your story. But let's start by just talking a little bit about who you are. Tell us who you are, where you're from, a little bit about your background and how you got to this point in time to be here in this space with Kurt and I.
Start at the beginning, just outside the birth canal, light is bright. put me back.
Well, I was a cesarean section child, so I was 10 and a half pounds, so I was a pretty big one.
Wow.
a lot of black hair. You know, I grew up the child of a bicycle shop owner, and was that little girl that was always in the back of the bike shop with the mechanics and getting my hands into the grease and helping do absolutely everything I could. And I have had a fascination for bicycles since I can possibly remember. It's just very much been a part of my life. And not much after learning how to walk, I was riding a bike. So the two of them went pretty tandem in my life. And fast forward a lot of years, and cycling continued to be part of my passion. As an adult, I had a canoe, bike, and kayak business, and we'd lead kayak and bike tours. And then I was reunited with my high school sweetheart, this guy sitting beside me, Sean Alexander, and we met when we were high school students at Seabreeze High in Daytona Beach, Florida.
Seabreeze High. That's awesome.
Which, by the way, was home of the Fighting Sand Crabs.
Yeah, watch out. Yeah, right.
I had that once. I had to get medicine.
Yeah, where the claw rolls. So you can only imagine the brunt of jokes that we were a part of.
Wow.
But Sean was a senior, I was a sophomore, and obviously was quite a catch. So
she's very modest.
Our friends introduced us, and I slipped him a letter and said, hey, our friends are trying to have us meet, and I'm a little bit bashful, but, you know, basically, here's my number, and if you're interested, call me at 8. And giggled and walked away in between classes. And lo and behold, that night he called me, and thus started the next several months of our high school romance. And probably the longest, most innocent, sweet relationship I have ever had in high school. Thank you, Sean. So he was the big, sweet, charismatic surfer dude, and I was the relatively outspoken, but also a little bit timid in a weird way, girl. And our relationship took us through the end of the summer. We broke up just because Sean went off to college. And 17 years later, on Facebook, of all things, he friended me. And so I saw his picture. My heart dropped a little bit. I noticed that he had a ring on his finger and assumed that was a wedding band, but it was not. And we started chit-chatting, and a couple months later, we met each other for the first time. And I think it just rekindled pretty quickly. So part of our reuniting was we both had a love of the outdoors. We both had a love of cycling. Sean, obviously, she can tell your story about cycling, but Sean was a huge mountain biker and cyclist and loved to ride, and I loved to road bike. And so together, we had a love of the ocean, we had a love of swimming and outdoors, and we decided that we wanted to, after we got engaged, we wanted to start our wedding off with what we loved to do, which was be outside and be full of health. And so we chose to have our wedding on the beaches that we grew up and surfed, and decided to do our very first triathlon together, and the weekend before we got married. So that started our life of triathlons, and we're married for a few years and moved here to Connecticut. And I think I'm going to have Sean tell a little bit, and then I'll interject onto October 8th, but I'll just kind of let Sean talk a little bit about his perspective of our meeting up.
My childhood and how we met. All right, so I grew up surfing. I've always been a surfer ever since I was a tiny little kid. I've always had a fascination with the ocean, as well as cycling. I got my first mountain bike, I would say, right before college, and I started hitting the trails in Florida. And I was fascinated by it, intrigued. I loved the sport, as well as surfing. You couldn't get me out of the water. I was like a little fish. So all the way through throughout high school, I surfed and I mountain biked. And of course, that's when I met Colleen, and we dated for several months. I took her to prom. I don't know if she mentioned that.
When did it become prom? It used to be the prom. I went to the prom.
You know, that was prom. Yeah, we did go to the prom.
It was Enchantment Under the Sea.
That's
it
right.
It was the prom.
It was the prom. Now it's prom. Pretty soon it's going to just be P. I mean, they're shortening it for some reason.
And we do still have our prom photo. If you want to see it, make sure
to
email or message me.
We used our horse-drawn carriage when I was in high school.
I like to make posts on the Facebook, though. So, you know.
But I'm more than certain I surfed the day before and possibly the day after prom. Actually, the day that Colleen and I broke up, because I was going to college, I had my surfboard on top of my car and ready to go surfing. So we broke up. I was like, okay, I'm going surfing. I'll talk to you later. And then 17 years later, of course, we rekindled. But during that time, I lived in Colorado. Colleen lived in Vermont. And that's when I picked up
tough to surf out there.
Mountain biking, yes. Surfing was very difficult. But once again, my other passion was mountain cycling, and I loved it. I thought it was awesome. So I just continued doing that for 10 years. And then, as Colleen said, we met on Facebook, and sparks flew. We got married soon after. and then we did our first triathlon right before we got married, and that's when we got bit by the tri bug, and as well as the Colleen bug bit me too. So,
oh dear!
It was a good bite though; it wasn't that hard. But anyway,
well, we reviewed your love affair. That's awesome. Our readers right now are absolutely stuck to their iPods. They want to know what's next. You are breathing heavy. I can.
What's next?
Yeah. So I think it's important to say that.
Let's fast forward a little.
We did that triathlon, and we did not do very well. And I was terrified of the swim. We both made it through. We both heard, though, you are a triathlete. We were excited. We got married. Life was good. And we moved here to Connecticut and to start a life together. And about a year into living in this grand old state of Connecticut after moving from Vermont, I was involved in a pretty serious trauma. So as I mentioned, I have loved cycling most of my life. And for me, cycling was not just exercise, it was a way of life, and it was kind of my everything. I often joke that it's part of a chromosome of my body, I think. It's some of my DNA. But I used to cycle to work and home from work all the time. And about a year into living here, my job was going well. Sean's job was not going super well, but we moved here for my job, so we were working on it. Decided, you know, it's time to try to have a family. And I was biking home from a work meeting, and on the side of the road, a multi-ton Freightliner came rolling through a stop sign, and I was going straight. He was supposed to stop and turn and failed to, and so I became very quickly another statistic. And so I was run over, front and back sets of tires, multi-ton Freightliner, ripped apart pretty aggressively and bled out severely. And within moments of getting to the hospital, flatlined for the first time. And the reason I flatlined wasn't because my heart was damaged, but because I literally had bled out and did not have any blood left in my body. So my life changed very much in the blink of an eye. I got up that morning and said, you know, I'm going to go to work. I'm going to kiss my husband, and I'm going to make dinner when I get home. I'm going to do a training ride when I get home. You know, we had life planned for us as we thought that it was going to go. And that's unfortunately not, fortunately and unfortunately, not the way that life happens. And so thankfully for me, I had taken up this love of athleticism from a very young age and then gotten into the sport of triathlons before Sean and I got married. And so I had a conditioned heartbeat, a conditioned heart. I had a conditioned body internally that was able to be resuscitated multiple times. And I was in a coma for about 5.5 weeks, endured many, many surgeries. And, you know, we didn't know what the outcome was going to be for me. I was at rehab hospital for a very long time. Our thoughts of becoming parents went by the wayside pretty quickly, as we knew that my womb had been pretty destroyed. My pelvis was snapped in two, was what's called open booked. So basically that beautiful iliac crest that you have on either side of your pelvic bone, mine popped off, and my hips were fractured, my ankle was broken, my tibia was broken, and then my body got degloved, which is kind of like if you take a glove and you pull it off your hand, that's what happened to most of the lower part of my skin and my body. So I was left in pretty bad shape. I have endured about 20-something surgeries now, and, you know, I had gotten to a point with physical therapy that I was walking, and I started jogging again, and I had finally got back on my bike with a lot of trepidation and a lot of pain. But 2.5 years later, I just was amazed by how far I had come and also knew how far I still had to go. I still have more surgeries. I'm going back in November, actually. But I'd heard about this place called Pursuit Athletic Performance, and I didn't really know much about it, being that I was still relatively new to Connecticut, and most of my years here were in the hospitals back and forth and being in surgeries and whatnot. And I happened to be having a lunch meeting with a friend next door at this great little place called Jams. and they make really good muffins. And
muffins are
yeah, they
really
do.
Good breakfast.
Off the chain.
So, on a lighter note, if you like good muffins, you should go to Jams and just good food in general. But so we were having lunch there, and I noticed that right next door was Pursuit Athletic Performance, and I didn't even know where it was. So I just said to my girlfriend, you know what? I'm going to walk next door and check this place out because apparently they work with athletes and, you know, apparently there's a doctor there and there's a coach there. And I don't even know if, you know, they might just look at me and laugh because I can barely stand up straight and I'm pretty headstrong. But let's just see what they say. So I walked in and introduced myself to them and they pretty much looked at me no differently than they would look at anybody else. And I think, you know, I had gotten so used to walking into places and people looking at me and immediately judging me and either going, oh, my God, what happened to you? Or, you know, like, wow, there's always some sort of judgment, you know, and concern and looks of like, yee, you look like you're in pain. And these two guys just shook my hand and said, hey, it's great to meet you. And, you know, were genuinely interested in who I was as an individual, and then also, you know, what had happened and what were my goals. And at the time, I didn't really know what my goals were, except I didn't want to be in so much pain, pain beyond recognition. And so I was trying to jog and run and bike and do all these things because I'm so headstrong and I wanted to get back to normal, and my body just didn't know how because it had been really badly wrecked. And so Coach and Doc took me under their wings and started doing some foundational work with me that at first I said, you know, oh dear God, you know, a lot of this is the same crap, pardon me, that my physical therapist would have me do. But the more I got to understand what they were doing, the technique may have been quite similar to PT, but it was done with a way that was so intentional and was so holistic that my body started to get it. And so, you know, we're about a year into our relationship, if you will. And I actually today just presented them with a medal for Monadnock Half Marathon. And let me just tell you, look it up online because it's not easy. And I challenge you to run Monadnock. But, you know, my glutes were pretty severely ripped apart, my leg, my muscles, just a lot of damage. And it was the first time that I was able to do an event, not fast, but without leg drag and without excessive pain. And so I give my medals to all my heroes, and these guys are two of them. So thank you.
That's awesome, Colleen. Thank you again for the medal. Really, really cool. Let's go back to the day of that accident, if we could for a moment. You know, it's interesting. You've had an opportunity because you went recently to a bike fit with Todd Kenyon, and you met Lisbeth Kenyon, who many of our listeners are, you know as a multi-time Ironman age group world champion. And I remember texting with Liz after your bike fit, and she was talking about you and how impressed she was with you and how pleased she was to meet you. And one of the things she said to me, which I thought was so cool, she said, she's so spunky. It's probably one of the reasons why she's alive today. And on a similar note, I introduced you to Damien Kevitt, who also survived an absolutely horrific bike crash out in Los Angeles, a hit and run. And in a podcast that I listened to Damien talk, he himself talked about how he just absolutely refused to die that day. It was not going to be his day. He talked about how much, you know, he was actually engaged in his recovery as this horrific accident was going on. He was being dragged beneath a car that was speeding onto I-5. You've talked about that day many times with me and with Doc and with others, and you've talked about how, you know, you were screaming and how the people that were coming to your aid, that you were actively involved in literally remaining vibrant in some way. I don't know how, and I'm probably talking without really knowing exactly, but I would love for you to talk about that a little bit, because I think that's something which everybody may be able to learn from, you know?
Yeah, I think inherently we as humans have a strong will to survive. we as living creatures. And, you know, for me, that moment, it was never an option to give up. Prior to being run over, I had brain surgery. I've dealt with lupus for most of my life, and I've always been an overcomer. And I don't know if it's because I'm half Irish, half Greek. I'm really stubborn.
Just overcoming that.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Those are two toxic combinations. But
Opa.
Right, like drink the beer and do that. I don't know. But you know, life is just an absolutely amazing gift. And I've always felt that every single one of us has a reason and a purpose to be on this planet, and an innate need to be able to be needed and to give back. And, you know, that moment for me, I was like, there's no friggin', you know, this is bullshit. This is not what's going to take me out. You know, I just got reconnected with my soul's mate. And I've got too much to live for. And so I was an EMT years ago, and I very surreal put myself into triage mode and looked down at my body and said, I'm pretty effed up. And, you know, I was dragged and rolled for quite a long time underneath that big freight liner and just ripped and peeled open and left there to get run over again. And, you know, people say I could never go through what you went through. And I always say you never know until it's the only opportunity you have. We are so much stronger than we have any. We're such beautiful, strong, resilient human beings. And so for me, that moment was just fight, 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 fight. And I knew if I was screaming, I was vasodilating. I was getting blood and oxygen to my heart, to my brain. You know, I saw my body ripped apart. I saw everything. And I looked like my own horror movie. And my pain was beyond anything that I'd ever, I don't even know how to explain. But I knew that if I was going to continue to be on this planet, I had to have a trust in myself. I had to have a trust in God, and I had to have a trust in my family community, because I was about to most likely flatline, and it was out of my hands. And so, you know, I fought tooth and nail until we got over the Q Bridge in New Haven. Had enough morphine, thankfully, pumped into my IV that I was able to, you know, calm down a little bit. And by the time I got into those double doors, you know, that was it for me. I coded and was brought back repeatedly with CPR and a whole lot of blood donations. And, you know, I got to say, it's never been an option for me to give up, because I have learned, you know, I consider myself a product of heroes, but one of those heroes is myself, because I have fought so hard. And I feel like, you know, all of us as a community family, I consider everyone with PAP, you know, I'll say to Coach and to Doc, like, you guys are like my family, you know, and I'm the smush gushy one, but that's what happens when you get run over. But, you know, we are what we are capable of is just, it's awesome. You know, it's just really, really powerful stuff.
So take a second, and you've gone through all the horror here. You've described all these things that happened. Talk about, you know, you're an amazing person, and you have some remarkably wonderful things going on in your life outside of Sean. I know he's always at the top of the list, but you have some really awesome causes that you champion, you speak, you connect with people who need help. Talk a little bit about those things, because I think that's a really powerful thing.
Well, part of my recovery has been trying to pull out of my own misery and find gratitude, and learning that I needed over 78 units of blood equates to several hundred people that needed to roll their sleeves up in order for my heart to beat, because I needed whole blood, plasma, and platelets. And it takes a whole lot of donations for, you know, those bags of platelets and plasma. And so, you know, suddenly I started looking around and seeing every person around me as a hero. And heroes became very redefined in my life. And I also knew that I was resuscitated by CPR. And so I started doing some speaking for the Red Cross and honoring those blood donors and honoring those people that do that emergency relief work. And there's one of the biggest storms in Connecticut history that winter when we lost a lot of power. We had it was actually October. It was a freak storm. Apparently Halloween was canceled. So that's the one thing I missed when I was in a coma. But, you know, the Red Cross was on the scene and they had emergency crews out there. And, you know, my nurses could get to the ICU and they could take care of me and everyone else that needed care. And so I speak nationally for the Red Cross and I do a lot of advocacy work. And and I believe very strongly in just giving back and having that gratitude as a way to heal, because it's really easy to be pissed off and angry. But to say thank you genuinely to someone takes that away. It's hard to be grateful and angry in the same sentence. So I've also started to do some assistance with Girls on the Run here in southeastern Connecticut, which is an organization that's near and dear to my heart. Anytime that girls can be empowered through learning about themselves and their beings and understanding what it's like to be authentic and to be active is incredibly important and inspiring. And I've just tried to pour my heart and soul into causes that are going to make a difference, cycling safety and advocacy and education. And now I have the honor of being a trainer here. And it's pretty wild, I would say. I worked with a woman this morning, and the one thing that I've been trying to master myself, well, a lot of things that I've been trying to master myself, but, you know, to really be able to activate, you hear a coach and doc talking about, like, squeezing your glutes and activating your glutes and activating your, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I would always think, like, my poor little glutes were ripped apart. You know, I can't activate my glutes, and they just look like floppy pancakes, and nothing's happening. You know, so we do the planks and we do this and we do that. And so one of the things was, you know, getting into, I was watching coach for a while doing the downward dog and some leg pumps and going into a, down into a cobra. And I thought, oh, I wish I could do that someday. And I finally started to be able to do it and do it well. And I taught it to my client this morning and she looked at me and she said, oh my gosh, I never thought I could do that. And I thought, that's it. You know, this is what it's all about. It's some pretty good, powerful stuff.
Absolutely. You know, I want to, of course, we want to let Sean jump in here and talk a little bit about his experience through all of this. But, you know, one of the things that you really, that you said that really resonates with me is this idea that you are certainly a product of heroes, many great people in so many walks of life, be it the first responders, your doctors, the team at Yale. And there's so many amazing people, right? But ultimately, you are your own hero, and it reminded me of the movie and book Finding Joe, A Hero's Journey, and Doc, I'm sure you're familiar with that. You know, this idea that through all of these cultures and through all of these different societies around the globe, that when you look at the folklore and the cultures, you find this singular theme, people looking inside themselves for that hero. And I believe that's one of the things that brings us all together through endurance sports, you know, this idea that we can race, challenge ourselves in some way, meet some obstacle, the altitude changes at Monadnock as one example, or the winds in Hawaii at Ironman, challenge ourselves in a safe environment, hopefully safe environment, and try to overcome those obstacles and feel better and more empowered, and ultimately, of course, wrap it by giving thanks for the opportunity to do it and all the people that helped us help to make it possible. So, I mean, there's really that theme, you know, that runs through everything that you do that's so powerful. I'll just say that, you know, I hope I never have to be tested in the way that you have. I'll tell you, I couldn't believe in this past week, in this past 7-day period alone, I have driven past two cyclists right here in Old Saybrook who were riding without their helmets. Mm. One of them on the wrong side of the road, and one of them with headphones on. And he had an Angel Ride jersey. Can you imagine?
That's crazy.
You know, in this day and age, there are still cyclists that need to be educated about the simple things like wearing a helmet. So if you're listening, please, oh my gosh, you know. And that's accepting, you know, if you're on a cruiser out in Squaw Valley and you're just riding some bike path. Anyway, Sean, jump in here. What are your thoughts, man? What are you thinking as you hear about all this? You're reliving it, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, first off, I want to agree with you about the cycling with the headphones on or whatever. Like driving here today, I saw a girl cycling on the wrong side of the road texting on her phone. Okay.
So, oh, I saw her. Yeah, she was near our neighborhood.
So think about this. You're texting on your phone while you're driving. Okay, you're protected by your car if you get into an accident. Unless you run somebody over, but you're still protected by your vehicle. Now, no matter how you look at it, car versus bike, car's always going to win. Why would you jeopardize yourself texting on a bike and you know run that chance of getting into an accident with a car? That's just silly. So cyclists out there, get off your cell phones, wear your helmets, you know, ride with etiquette and courtesy of other people out there.
And remember, as cyclists, we're all ambassadors for each other, really. As athletes, we're ambassadors for each other. You know, we want to be respected, and so we need to be respectful, really, and that's obeying the rules of the road.
Yeah.
Well put.
Okay, so off that topic, let's get back to Colleen and what my take on her trauma was. I got the call while I was working, and I wasn't an EMT. I didn't have any medical background, so I didn't know nearly as much as Colleen knew going into this. I got to the hospital, and I was in the dark for at least 6 hours until I finally spoke with her head trauma surgeon, and he pointed out in a nutshell what had happened, and then he had to get back to her. So fast forward, 2-3 weeks went by. She was still in a coma. I would go to work. I would come back to the hospital. I would sleep there every single night, waiting for her to wake up, going through all of her wound changes, her surgeries. I would have to okay every single one of them. By the way, for Halloween, we did dress her up. She just doesn't know that yet.
What was that? Yeah, I was going to say, did I have a mustache? Like, what did you do?
A little extra glucose.
Yeah, you know. Well, they didn't allow cameras in there, but they we dressed her up anyway.
You put a wig on her.
We put a wig on her, yeah. No, just kidding. Anyway, but she came out, and we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know whether or not she was going to walk again. She came out with a colostomy bag. You know, she looked down. She's like, what's going on? What is this? And I looked at her, and I was like, it's okay, honey. You know, I had a colostomy bag, too. We're going to get through this.
Wonder Twins.
Because I was injured while I was mountain cycling, 5 years prior in Colorado. But that's a whole other story. So,
that's why we're soulmates together.
So we're meant to be, basically.
Crap happens in our marriage.
Yeah, so out of the hospital, we go to Gaylord's Rehabilitation Facility Center, which is amazing. We were there for about a month and a half during the first few weeks.
It was more like 2.5 months, big guy.
Okay.
Anyway, time flies when you're having a great time. But partially into it, she has a breakdown. She, you know, it's just full-on meltdown.
Just one?
Many times, but there was this one where it was just, you know, she wanted to give up. You know,
the one was the finally pissed off, everyone leave me alone.
You know, why did this happen to me?
Why did you let me stay alive?
Why did you let me stay alive? Why this? Why that? And I looked at her and I said, honey, you know, if, you know, God allowed you to stay alive for a reason, if you know, if it was anybody that God chose, it was you, because you can convey this message to other people. You know, you have a spark in you that ignites, and you can tell this story in a way that nobody else can articulate it. So God chose you for this reason, and things just started, you know, I guess getting better, if you will, as far, you know, us understanding what we have to go through, you know, in the next several months, several years. And now it's been 3 years since the accident, or the trauma, I shouldn't call it an accident. And we're here now, and we've met Doc and Coach, and they've helped us along as well. I've improved my swimming on the Vasa trainer. Colleen's been improving.
He came in third overall at the Road Warrior Half Iron this past weekend. Just pointing that out.
Or on the swim.
He kind of sucked on the bike, but he's
a surfer dude.
I just want to point that out. No. It doesn't.
The swimming rock, the bike, he didn't.
The surfing definitely helps, but the form is above all the most important on the swim. But every time I come into the lab, I get on the Vasa trainer and practice on my form at least 5 to 10 minutes on that thing, and that has improved me substantially. So I just wanted to point that out, first of all.
Vasa ergometer.
Vasa ergometer, yes. Thank you for the correction. But yeah, here we are now. And
we're going to have some Vasa ergs in our new space in Chester, by the way. We'll have a half a dozen of them or so, depending on how many we can afford when the time comes.
Yes, but, and we can match them up with the bikes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And, right. The owner of Vasa is going to be coming down next month and helping us out. So yeah, awesome.
Great.
Yeah, you're a machine, man. You're an absolutely machine out there. And the two of you together are an incredibly powerful couple that really provide a bright and shining light for everybody in your circle. And I'll speak for Kurt when I say we're pleased beyond words to be a part of your success now and moving into the future. You guys really embody everything that makes the work that we do worthwhile. You know, it's about training for the betterment of your body, not to its detriment. It's about overcoming obstacles. It's about taking the cards you've been dealt. And as you've pointed out, Colleen, being grateful for the gifts. And, you know, I, for one, am so grateful that you walked in that door that day. And we're grateful to have you guys as part of our PAP team, both as trainers and as athletes. The future is really, really bright. And we're going to bring you on the podcast again as time goes on. I know you guys have got some events coming up for the remainder of the year before you get on to the hospital again for one more surgery. I like to do a couple of races surgeries between all my surgeries. You know?
But for
me, it's usually wisdom toother. You train for the surgery.
Train for surgeries.
Yeah.
We'll work for food. We'll train for surgery.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any last thoughts you want to share with our audience?
I am just incredibly grateful to be here and just want to really encourage everyone to dig deep inside themselves. And the sky is really the limit with what you're able to accomplish. And the definition of an athlete is pretty broad. And so embrace where you are and know that there's a lot of movement forward. And that my husband's pretty freaking cool. And so I think I'm pretty happy for him. So if you meet him, he's kind of hot. He's a tall guy, big smile, and
that's what it's all about.
You know,
tall, cool, drink of water.
That's what it's all. Cool glass of iced tea, I think they say.
Sweet tea, y'all are from the south.
Right.
Sweet tea.
No, but we look forward to meeting all of you out there. And
yes.
I have a website too. Part of my joy is I get to be a motivational speaker now, which is wild. And so I get to travel all over the country and speak. And it's just ColleenKellyAlexander.com, which is a totally boring website, but it's what it is. And so, and I am a Facebook nutcase. And so if you just look at Colleen Kelly Alexander, there's my page, and you can always email me and you can find Sean and see all of our gooey posts. And
I'm glad you didn't say the other word.
But thank you so much. And for those of you who donate blood, from the bottom of our hearts, Sean is also a blood recipient, and we cannot thank you enough from our hearts.
From both of our A+ hearts.
Our A+ hearts.
I'm A+ too, actually.
Yay!
Wow.
I'm
not.
I mean, it's very common. It's very, very common.
Right on. Well, thank you both for joining us today. That was a really great podcast. A lot of awesome information. It's not really information, right? It's a story. And tough to share, I think, probably a little bit, but thanks for taking the time to do that.
Absolutely, thank you.
Absolutely.
All right, have a great day, everybody.